Oh no, here comes Kathy.
Oh boy. You know, she took the rap for what I did at work, and she ended up getting fired. I hope she doesn't see me. She's probably so furious with me.
Hey Larry.
Oh, hi. Kathy, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I know this is probably kind of awkward. Actually, I almost walked right past you and pretended like I didn't even see you, but I realized that we should probably talk. I think I need to apologize to you.
Apologize to me? For what?
Well, you know, I was pretty upset, you know, about all that stuff that happened at work. And I kind of got pretty angry and probably thought and said some things about you that I shouldn't have, and I just wanted to apologize for harboring that anger against you and for thinking some of the things that I did.
Are you serious? Well, you have every right to be angry at me after what I did to you. I know I lied to cover up my mistakes, I guess, and well, I let you take the blame. It got you fired.
I know. I want you to know that you're forgiven for all that.
How could you possibly forgive me after what I've done to you?
Well, Larry, to be honest, you know, I've had a lot of my own mistakes, and there's actually somebody that took the blame for me, and in fact, he died in my place so I could be forgiven. And because of what he's done for me, I want to share that with others.
Somebody died in your place?
Yeah, actually, he died for you too. His name's Jesus. You know, I'd like to tell you more about him if you want. Do you have some time? We could go get some coffee and talk some more.
Well, yeah, let's go.
All right, let's go.
Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, lest you be tempted. So says Paul to the Galatians in the 6th chapter. Conflict really does present some interesting and unique opportunities to serve other people. When people are weighed down and stressed out, God sometimes uses us to encourage them. Sometimes He uses us to give helpful advice to them. And sometimes we are able to suggest some creative ways to solve problems. But I think the best opportunity of all that we have is the opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ and our witness to the gospel, as you saw Deaconess do in her character here. Even when, and surprisingly, when people are attacking us. In fact, I think that's when they see the gospel most clearly. You'll remember from our talk on Ash Wednesday some weeks ago that I told you there's two different extremes that we want to avoid in conflict. In our everyday conflicts, and they're really big ones that we fear the most. One response is to pretend that there is no conflict when there really is. You know, to just deny it. And we want to avoid that because there's a lot of consequences to that. First of all, we're going to lose somebody who's valuable to us because they are a brother or sister or maybe a member of the body of Christ. That response to pretend that there is no conflict, well, that also comes from the emotional pain of confrontation that we fear so much. But this isn't a solution because, as I say, we have to abandon that person emotionally and any other support that we might provide for them. We may also choose, however, to overlook an offense, but if it leads to bitterness on the inside of us, or if there's other people involved, then that's not the course. Christ calls us to present that to the offending person. So that's one extreme that we just deny. The other extreme is that we attack the person. I don't mean we come at them with fisticuffs, but perhaps we do it in an indirect way. You know, we're hurt by what they did to us or said about us, so for some reason, we think it's going to lessen the hurt if we go and tell other people how we feel and what a terrible person this other fellow is. We try to get over that feeling by attacking another person's reputation. Now, we might not confront that person directly, but we will hurt his good name with other people. And you know how it goes. When someone points this out to us, what's our response? We say, oh, well, it's all true. No, I know it's true about this person. As if that justifies us dismantling their good name. You know, as well as anyone, as a Christian, that God forbids us to hurt the reputation of other people with our words. The Eighth Commandment, you remember that, teaches us that we are not to bear false witness against our neighbor. That means that we shouldn't say anything that is hurtful against another person, even if it is true. On the contrary, the Catechism teaches us that we are to defend them and explain everything in the kindest way that we can about others. So if we've been hurt by another person, we've got an immediate decision to make. We have to decide whether we're going to overlook the offense or not. Now, many offenses can and should be overlooked when it's just us involved, and we can honestly go on with that other person and say, and deal with them as we would normally and just say, well, this is just maybe a character flaw in them, but I can get along with that. You know, just kind of let it go, as we might say. But the problem, if it leads us to talk about the other person behind their back, or it causes bitterness in us, or makes us feel so angry at them that we don't want anything to do with them again, well, then we really need to talk with them. We must personally talk and graciously visit with them. Jesus taught his disciples this when he says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. And if he listens to you, you have won him over. Now, what we often overlook is before this passage in the scriptures, we have this beautiful story that Jesus tells us about a shepherd who goes looking for his wandering sheep. And then when he finds that one sheep, he rejoices over it. So we should see that when we discuss an offense with another person, Jesus is calling for us to do something more loving than just listing their offenses to them. Now he's confronting us and asking us to try to win them back. He wants us to remember and imitate his shepherd love for us and seek after those to try to help them, to turn them from their sin so they can be restored to God and they can be restored to the people they've offended. Now, the Bible does teach that sometimes it is advisable for someone to be involved other than the two persons in conflict to try to meet personally with someone, to involve someone else before that happens. These people sometimes visit with both parties and try to go as intermediaries between the two. For example, when Jacob, before he met his brother Esau, he sent ahead his servants, and he sent ahead some gifts. Also, when Joseph's brothers feared that their brother Joseph might retaliate on them for selling them into slavery, they sent someone ahead to appeal to Joseph to have mercy. And similarly, when the apostles would not meet with Paul after his conversion because, you know, previously he had been arresting Christians and putting them in prison, Barnabas interceded to speak on Paul's behalf and to ask for reconciliation. So whether you or someone else goes first, it's important that we meet face to face with those with whom we are estranged eventually so that we can have that opportunity to confess our sins to each other and to forgive one another as God has forgiven us. So what about when the other person has something on you? If you believe that person, the other person's complaints about you are unfounded, or they're just a misunderstanding of the other person's fault, you might naturally concede that you really don't need to do anything. But Jesus teaches us differently in the Gospel of Matthew in the 5th chapter. He says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar of the Lord, and you remember there that someone else has something against you, he says, leave your gift, go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, notice here that the command is not limited to situations where the other person has something justifiable against you. But Jesus said to be reconciled with your brother if he has something, anything, against you. Now, there's several reasons to initiate reconciliation here. First and foremost, Christ commands it. And when our Lord commands, we Christians don't see that as negotiable. The new person in us that Christ has created should want to follow the Lord's instruction. Secondly, when there's unity among believers, it's going to affect how other people view the gospel. You know, if we don't want to be reconciled with anybody else, why would anybody want to become a Christian if we're just as messed up as the rest of the world? But when we do live in peace with one another, forgive one another, that moves people's hearts. Thirdly, I think you're going to have greater peace inside yourself if you've faced any complaints that others have about you. And fourthly, you should initiate reconciliation out of love for your brother or sister and concern for their well-being. Because bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness are serious sins in God's eyes. And if you or your brother indulges in these feelings, well, it's going to separate you from God, and it's going to expose you to God's judgment. So the question really is, do you overlook the sin when someone sins against you? Do you overlook it? And how's that different from denying it and trying to run away from it, escape? Well, think about this. Ask some questions like the sin. Is it too obvious to overlook? Too serious to overlook? Is it dishonoring God, whatever it is? Is it damaging your relationship to that other person? Is it hurting other people and involving them in the conflict? Is it hurting the offender? And I think if the answer is yes to any of these questions, then you really should address it with that person. Go to him or her. If not, and you're going to dismiss it, and you can overlook it, well, then you just turn it over to God, and you pray that God will help that person in their life to see the need for a change. But if you go to them, make sure that you get the log out of your own eye first, and you confess any sins that you have committed against that person in this relationship, as you saw in our little skit tonight. Talk repeatedly with that person. Try to encourage them and reconcile to them. And then give them the time to do what is right and just. As I said before in weeks previous, God forgives us immediately, but it takes other people a little time to think about it sometimes, to respond, to confess their sins to us, or to grant us forgiveness when we have sinned against them. But overall, God wants us to live in peace with all people, especially others who are Christians. And we are all sinners, and so easily sin against one another, in our families, in our workplace, in our community, and even here in our church. When we confess our sins to each other, we have the opportunity to pronounce to one another the forgiveness and the reconciliation that each one of us has received from our Heavenly Father, all through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let this be in your hearts as we live and strive to live at peace with one another in the body of Christ. Amen. We now stand and sing the canticle.